If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. My Lowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? Coming to you live on September 10th. This is an early show, but it's going to be a fun show. I'm really excited. So we have concluded all of our film breakdowns of week one, 49ers versus Seahawks. Special teams, offense, defense, every single snap, all 22, multiple angles. That's up on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon. So I like to do at least one show a week. I prefer to do it where we do one show on the offense, one show on the defense, but with, you know, flying out and being in Seattle last week, with flying out Friday to be in New Orleans and get those parties set up this week, a little bit of a short week. I don't like to do the back-to-back weeks rush road trip. It just wears on me a little bit too much. But shoot, I'm not missing Seattle. I'm not missing New Orleans. You freaking kidding me? I'm not missing it. So anyway, and we're live a little bit earlier today, man. Thoughts, prayers, everything up to the Morgan family. I want to be in the hospital for the rest of the day. One of close family friends, mother is having a major surgery, cancer surgery. So I'm just going to be up there. So that's why we're live a little bit early today. And today's show might be a little bit short. I got to get out there pretty quick. But so I'm kind of cram packing everything in this show this week. But I've got 3 pages of notes here on film, which I'm so super pumped about. And good morning, everybody. Love all the hashtag CCs. Really, really pumped about that. And man, I already see it, Bobo. Brock Purdy is out for sure. I do not see it that way. And again, I'm going to constantly be, you know, refreshing everything. And, you know, if we get more news, you're going to have the injury reports, you know, coming in. Wednesday is the first official after practice today. We're recording this before that. I do not believe. Here's what I think is going to happen. This is all conjecture. I have no inside information. Understand that. I never will. I believe Brock Purdy's going to miss a couple practices, but I do think that he will play this week on the road. The fact that they haven't signed a quarterback already kind of helps a little bit with that. There's no way the 49ers are moving into. I do think they'll sign a quarterback, and I do think Brock Purdy will miss practices, but I do not believe Brock Purdy will be out. However, if Brock Purdy is out this week, I don't think that that is the major cause for alarm. Mac Jones has been unbelievable all throughout training camp, all throughout the preseason. I'm totally cool with Mac Jones being the starting quarterback. I do not like Adrian Martinez as the backup. I think they will sign an experienced vet on the practice squad. There's lots of guys out there that I really, really like, but I will wait and we'll dive into that. But no, I expect Brock Purdy to play. What's up, Rick? Appreciate you guys. RTP, my man. I got to say thank you to my man, Matthew and May. They hooked me up big time in Seattle. they listen to the show, and I'm thankful, man. One of the coolest things in Seattle this past week at the Rush road trip, everybody's like, John, we haven't bought tickets yet because they listen to the show. Should we buy them now? Should we buy them now? And I was like, okay, this is when I would start to look, whatever else. I had probably 10 to 15 people come up to me. John, I saved $200 on my tickets. John, I saved hundreds of bucks. Like, I listened. I'm nervous. You know, oh, save $50 a ticket. Like, that makes me so happy. If I can save you guys money, I'm the happiest man alive. And RTP, Matthew May, we were able to sit together. And he listens to the show. He got tickets right on the 50, 300 series. Amazing view. Unbelievable. Couldn't have had a better fan experience. It was Matthew May, Nick, myself, all of us sitting together. It was freaking living the dream, man. And we're going to be together this upcoming week in Seattle or in New Orleans, which I'm so pumped. What's up, Dan? Said, appreciate you guys, Kevin. You guys are the best. I'm so pumped, man. Right here, week two now. We play the Saints. That's right, man. And the Saints, man, already watched their tape too. It was fun. Saints are nasty little spicy defense. And the Kellen Moore offense, a little shocked. They threw the ball like crazy. Alvin Kamara, still Alvin Kamara. Oh, man. It's going to be a fun week. We got Jason Bourne. Kendrick Bourne back. Eddie Pinheiro, the new quarter kicker. Lots of ins and outs. Jordan Watkins, I fully expect him to be back. I think Jordan James, the running back's going to be back. Like, there's a lot of in and outs going on, which I like, and I'm kind of excited about that. There's a lot of things to kind of pay attention to, and the film was exciting. That's the cool thing. The film was exciting. Yeah, Ben, I'm with you right here. No way Shanahan's going to announce anything about Brock Purdy a second earlier than he needs to. No news today. I do not expect Brock to practice today. I do not expect Brock to practice tomorrow. I think might be a little bit of – he's probably going to have a questionable tag if I know anything about, you know, if I was going to put on it. But I do think that he will play. Rob, sad to see Moody go. You are the only one. No other team had that much suspense on field goals and PATs. That is true. It was entertaining. And I'll tell you this, you know, this is anticlimactic. Let's start with the special teams. I'm telling you right now when the decision was made, it wasn't on the missed field goal, wasn't on the blocked field goal. It was on the halftime, right before halftime. The 49ers kick off, right, and they get that touchback right before the half. That was, I'm telling you right now, like, Shanahan, you can see it on the 49ersrush.com. If you go watch the film breakdown, kicks the touchback with like a minute 11 left or something. And Shanahan just like throws, like you can see him throwing his stuff up in the air. Like that was the moment. Like it was how bad Jake Moody was even on kickoffs. Like couldn't do extra points, couldn't do kickoffs, can't do field goals. Like Jake Moody, what can you do? Like, I don't know. And it was just way too many just utter frustrating moments that just like, oh, you got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. And sorry, I said second quarter. It was right before the half. That touchback right before the half. That or at the end of the game. Good Lord. I'm all over the place. I apologize. I got to slow down. So let's talk just about special teams. One, the punter was average. I loved it. Like, if you told me the 49ers special teams would just be average, we would win so many games with this defense. So many games. Now, the 49ers finished with the worst-ranked special teams unit in the NFL. Nothing new, which is frustrating because you bring in a new coordinator, you make all these special team signings, you kind of revamp everything, still dead last. And Jake Moody had a lot to do with that, but it wasn't just Jake Moody. Thomas Morstead was average, right smack dab in the middle. That is exactly where I want everything to be, everywhere. Jair Brown goes out there and has a stupid penalty, you know, on one of the first plays, but then he made a couple good plays after that. Shoot, Darrell Luter Jr. looked good. Actually showed some football IQ on a couple different plays, which he has had zero of on offense, defense, special teams, wherever he gets out there. Looks like Darrell Luter has no damn clue, but you could tell somebody's coaching up somebody. And even on the blocked field goal kick, right? They jump through the Matt Hennessy kind of window. It's the D gap where you have the upright blocker at the very end, which I think it was Tonjes, but it wasn't really his fault. Matt Hennessy was too low. Very next play, hey, We coached a mistake. Matt Hennessy elevated, shut down that gap. They actually rushed from the opposing side. But somebody, a special teams coordinator, Brian Schneider, could never do this in his entire life, corrected something that was bad. So the next time you go out there, you don't make the same mistake twice. Brian Schneider never did that once in 3 years. I'm at the games. And you would see somebody have this stupid freaking play or cause a turnover or whatever else. They go to the sideline and walk past Brian Schneider. And he would never coach them up or address anything. He would just sit there and keep talking to whatever assistants he was talking to the whole time. Never address the players. Didn't do it. So that's positive. Sky Moore on punt return, whenever he gets a chance to have a return, man, finish the game with back-to-back punt returns over double-digit yards. I loved seeing that. Isaac Grando, awful. He's so bad. I don't know how long. I think the 49ers are just going to basically say, be a special teams player, break glass in case of emergency. Jordan James is going to pass him on the depth chart in no time at all. He gets out there at kick return, ball gets kicked to him, fumbles the ball, then runs straight into his own player again. Like, you can't even make it up. His lead blocker runs straight into him and, like, jolts him backwards, like, still running into his own players on kickoff. Pretty good punt blocker, Isaac Grando. But he's bad. He's really, really bad. So those are kind of my special teams takeaways. Now, what's up? We got a super chat. What's up, Eric? Appreciate you, man. Big J saying a prayer for your friend's mom. I'm sure she will get through her surgery strong. And I agree 100% with you on the quarterback situation. Positive, positive, positive. And man, I hate that. I'm not trying to put a damper on things here. So I apologize if that's coming across. Just people going through some real shit. I don't know what to say. And we did this last year where we do the giveaway for the two Rams tickets. We're going to do that again. And so this is for week five. The 49ers play the Rams week five on the road. This is the only road trip game I'm not going to. It's a Thursday night game. Two tickets in the 200 section with a pink tailgate parking pass. That's the only place you're allowed to tailgate at SoFi. These together are going for over $1,000 on tick selling or on ticket sales apps. Over $1,000. We're giving this away. It's $20 per entry, or you could do three entries for $50, right? Save yourself a little money, get a couple extra tickets. Buy as many as you want. That is up right now. You go to the 49ersrush.com/Rams. The link is in the description of this video and or audio platform podcast, wherever, just click on it. Now, we don't make any money on this. We are giving these tickets away, and all of the money is going to my man, Bruno. Shout out to Bruno. 3 years old, man, fighting through leukemia. It was 2 years old last year. He's still freaking fighting. He's doing great. He is improving, but he's still got a long ways to go. And so all the proceeds that anything that is made from this, we're going to lose money on this to try to support Bruno and his family. And so again, two tickets, 200 section at SoFi Stadium, week five with the peak parking pass. It's over $1,000. You can win this for $20 and support a good cause. Shout out to my man, Bruno. Dude is just freaking legend. We're going to announce the winner Thursday, September 25th. So you only got 15 days to enter this. Do not wait. That's going to give you a week and a half. We'll announce it live on the show Thursday on our Coach Approach show at 10 a.m. You'll have a week and a half. That'll give you time to set up arrangements if you're going to travel down there, whatever. So one, you want to go to the game and have a badass time, then go buy tickets. Two, man, you want to support an amazing cause and, like, dude, we need your help here. That's huge. Even if you don't want to go to the game, enter in, give it to another 49ers fan, sell them on a tick app. Afterwards, I don't care. One, good cause. Two, go have an amazing time. That's kind of the idea there. So the 49ersrush.com/Rams, or just click the link in the description of the video. Once you enter that in, we'll do the live giveaway Thursday, the 25th. That is there. So let's jump to the offensive takeaways, which I'm pretty pumped about. My number one takeaway offensively is just how damn good Kyle Shanahan was. Kyle Shanahan was badass. Like, you got to be kidding me. You had no Juwan Jennings for three quarters of the game. You had no freaking George Kittle. You had no Brandon Ayuk. You had no. Didn't matter. Shanahan was cooking up 22 personnel. You had Kyle Juszczyk and Christian McCaffrey and Brian Robinson. You had Jake Tonjes and Luke Farrell, and the offense was humming. You go watch that third quarter offense. Everything was cooking. Every single play was open. Every single thing worked. Now, you had the turnovers that took away from it. Those were on Brock Purdy. You had one series of the offensive line just absolutely just caving in, man. I mean, it was just awful. You had about three plays in a row where either Jake Brendel, Dominique Pooney, or Ben Bartsch just ruined a play by themselves, and it was kind of like a three and out. You lost yards, and that was done. But the plays were all there. They were all there. And so, like, Kyle Shanahan, dude, I'm just telling you, that dude was cooking. He was in his bag. He had almost 400 yards offense against a really good defense. Leonard Williams, you're not going to play against a better defensive tackle this year than Leonard Williams. Week 18, you got to play him again. But that dude, he won reps against Trent, Colton McKinney, all five offensive linemen. Leonard Williams won against all of them, and you were still able to mitigate that and win and on the road in a division game. Just like, dude, I walked away very impressed with Kyle Shanahan. And I know somebody's like, dude, 17 points? Come on, man. That ain't nothing. And it's not. But that ain't Kyle's fault. Should have had another touchdown pack to Ricky Pearsall, but Brock Purdy's arm. And probably my biggest negative on Brock Purdy, he was doing some Jimmy G freaking BS where he doesn't step into the throw. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo and Brock Purdy, they do not have strong arms. The anticipation and poise of Brock is off the charts, but I don't know when the injuries happened to Brock, the toe and the shoulder, but he quit stepping into throws when anybody was relatively close to him. And, you know, the interceptions came on that. The missed touchdown came on that. And that was a problem. That was a negative. Now, you're allowed to have nuanced take. I don't think Brock Purdy had a bad game. I don't think he had a great game either. Early on, Brock Purdy's poise was, off the chart. And I know the old line sucked, but whenever you don't step into throws and you do not have a strong arm, you can get into trouble, and that is what you saw. And, yeah, I'm with you there, Invader. I'm praying it's no turf toe. That is what I'm concerned about. That is what I am concerned about. 49ers throwback, appreciate your positivity always. It's also good that, you know, having Sala back keeps Kyle and Brock with some of Mike McDonald's defense. Yeah, Robert Saleh's everything. He was the best coach of the game, the best coordinator of the game, best everything in the game. And Kyle was good. Robert Saleh, we'll get to that. We're not there yet. Notorious GAV, 22 personnel all day. I want to stay in it. And again, you got to remember, Kyle Juszczyk is now taking tight end snaps. Like, there were three tight end sets out there. Now, that's 22 personnel, but you're out there in double tight. Like, you got two tight ends on one side, and then, you know, the tight end on the other side. It looked like wing T formation. And then you got Kyle Juszczyk motioning from a tight end to a fullback set. It's just like, dude, what are we? Is this student body right? Like, what are we doing here? I freaking loved it, man. And yeah, for the people that like Kyle won't evolve or whatever else, the tape does not say that. Didn't suggest that last year. It's what it is. Man, JP, I appreciate you, man. You are the best in the world, dude. I really do appreciate you. Thank you so much. Rob, appreciate you, man. Did not enjoy watching his passes into triple, quadruple coverage. They were late, too. And I get it because Ricky Pearsall was your only functioning receiver at times. You're not throwing it to MVS. You're not throwing it to Russell Gage. You got Luke Farrell out there who caught that 4th-and-2. That was huge. You don't win that game without that catch. Like, that's not his job. And then you've got a freaking sprint right option, you know, the catch number 5 or whatever you want to call it. Ricky Pearsall was kind of the only guy you had out there at the time, and he stared him down all the way across the field, throws it into – that was dumb. That was dumb. That was dumb. There were some bad ones. But, you know, that one turnover – He was covered. He was blanketed the whole time. And, yeah, it was rough. It was rough. But, man, just think. Kendrick Bourne, can you trust him already? Is he going to play this week? You're not going to have a lot of reps because I don't think Brock Purdy's going to be practicing much this week. But that's hard. That's hard. Now, I do think Brock Purdy trusts Jordan Watkins. I think that's important. And then you're going to get Robinson back. When Robinson comes back, it's going to alleviate so much. I don't think people understand how important Robinson is to this damn offense. He worked with every quarterback and was every quarterback's favorite target. Regan Pearsall missed a lot of training camp. DeMarcus Robinson was out there nonstop. Ah, yeah, I mean, Kendrick Bourne going to have drops. He ain't changed that. That's who he was. But again, remember, he was the third down conversion guy before Juwan Jennings. And if Juwan Jennings could go, all right, now we're talking. I fully expect Brock Purdy to play this week. I think he'll miss some practices. I think he'll have a questionable tag. But I expect Brock Purdy to go. I do. And when D-Rob comes back, everything changes. Also, let's talk some Trent Williams. I'm about to yell, okay? I'm about to get mad. So just understand that's coming. Let me get a drink of coffee real quick. Let's talk some Trent Williams after this. You know that one guy in the group chat who had a five-leg parlay week one and just wouldn't shut up about it for the rest of the season? That could be you. MyBookie makes it super easy to get into the action. College football, NFL, super contest, survivor pools, casino, blackjack, whatever it is you want, they got it. All the spreads, player props, and in-game lines you could want all under one roof. And if you're new to MyBookie, use our code 49ers, 49ERS, up to $500 is fully covered. You make your play. Let's say it doesn't hit. You get all of it right back up to $500 when you opt in using your bet back bonus, and you get it back. It's just what it is. Comes with a one-time rollover if you use it. Now, no better time to jump in, no better place to play. Plus, we have all of our weekly bets and season bets up on our Patreon and the 49ersrush.com. So if you don't know how to get started, we've got it made for you. We show you what we bet. We show you what's out there, and we will cover that with you. It's going to be a good time. So, football's back. Let's make some money with MyBookie, promo code 49ERS. Let's go. This episode is brought to you by PrizePicks. You and I make decisions every day, but on PrizePicks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on PrizePicks, where it's good to be right. Now, I played PrizePicks for over three seasons straight, and my favorite thing about it is just how easy it is. You pick more or less on 2-6 stat projections. If you get the picks right, you cash in. It's that easy. And PrizePicks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 40-plus states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Some of the early week one things that you could put in on: Saquon Barkley, more or less than one rushing touchdown. Joe Burrow, more or less than 2.5 touchdowns. Josh Allen, more or less than 270 passing yards. You want to focus on 49ers? Guess what? They've got it loaded on there. Brock Purdy, more than 12 or less than 12 rushing yards. Christian McCaffrey, 71.5 rushing yards, more or less. You pick two, you get it right, you get paid. Download the app today and use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ERS to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. PrizePicks. It's good to be right. Imagine a way to travel that feels personal, comfortable, and connected without the price tags and the sterile feeling of hotels or short-term rentals. That's exactly what Kindred provides. And whenever I think about traveling, like, I want it to feel like personal, effortless. Whenever I go on the road for all the 49ers Rush road trips, I've got so many things on my mind. Where I stay, I don't want to be one of them. So Kindred is a members-only home swapping network. It isn't a hotel. It isn't a short-term rental. It's a smarter way to travel where each stay feels like home. Plus, with Kindred, your home's your ticket. You earn hosting credits from fellow members, and then use those credits to stay in over 220,000 homes in 100 cities worldwide. And if you apply now at livekindred.com and use code 49ers to join for free, you'll earn 5 nights of travel credit just for signing up. That's livekindred.com, code 49ers. livekindred.com, code 49ers.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Man, I hope you bet with us week one. We increased your bankroll by 38% in 1 week. You got to be kidding me. We crushed it. We will be putting our bets of the week out probably on, I want to do it Friday, Saturday. We will see. I'm flying out real early Friday. I'm hoping to get those out Friday. It'll be Friday or Saturday. Those will be posted on the 40hoursrush.com or our Patreon page. That's for Jay Rice here. But we paid for your whole freaking membership for the first few months. If you bet with me, dude, we've been betting since I think this is our seventh year with my bookie. I freaking love betting. Now let's talk Trent Williams. Trent still got it. Thank you, Invader. People are insane. If you don't think Trent Williams played well, you are insane. You didn't watch the tape. Did he give up pressures? Yes. Did he give up more pressures than he used to? Yes. Did he have 1 to 2 plays where it didn't look like Trent was good? Yes. Did Trent also put 6 people into the ground? I kept count. Yes. Was Trent Williams still out blocking on the edge, 25 yards downfield, taking corners out on the screen game? Also, yes. I could put together like a little highlight reel of Trent Williams. I ain't got time this week. I wish I did. And everybody would be like, oh my gosh, those are the best plays Trent Williams ever had. That is there. Now, the game plan that Mike McDonald did was to go at Ben Bartsch and force Trent Williams to do 2 things every damn play. He had an off-ball linebacker, nickel corner, safety blitzing to his inside that he would have to check, and then he'd have to kick outside and get the outside guy. He was blocking 2 guys on a lot of those third and longs or third and whatever, those play-action passes. Trent played fine. The 6 pressures, I get it. That is problematic. And if you just look at, you know, the PFF, whatever, I'm telling you right now, go watch the damn tape. If you are concerned about Trent, you are insane. Now, is Trent Williams still the best left tackle in the NFL? Probably not. Probably not. I'm going to be honest there. Like, hey, guess what? Nuance takes. They're allowed to happen. Some of you guys get scared of that stuff. But no, Trent Williams is a top 5 left tackle in this NFL. Period. Trent Williams played top 5 level football this Sunday against Seattle. Not concerned. Not concerned. Now, Trent has always struggled with those undersized, twitched up, whatever rush guys. He's at his best versus the big kind of permanent style defensive end guys. Seattle ain't got those. Tank Lawrence does, but they kind of play him hybrid inside, whatever else. But Boye Mafe and Derek Hall, those are kind of the guys that kind of have always given him fits. I have no concern whatsoever with Trent Williams. Do I think he's the best? Probably not. Do I think he's top 5? 100%. Like, you still saw him blocking out outside the numbers, 15 yards downfield, looking incredible, moving in space. People say he's not in shape. Dude, come on, man. Now, that's kind of crazy. He's 37. He's 37. Thank you, Gabriel. He's also 37 years old. Let's see how those other tackles are when they hit 37. They ain't going to be there. He's competing against guys that are 25, 26, 27. Yeah, he's our best and ain't even close. Dominique Pooney, like, you know, Dominique Pooney had a bad game. Non-consistent game. Yeah, he struggled with balance issues. He got thrown on the ground probably 4 or 5 times. You don't like to see that. Jake Brendel on the ground 4 or 5 times. That Seattle defensive line, you're not playing a better D-line this year. It's the best the 49ers will see. It's way better, good, way more consistent than the Rams. The Rams are a good pass-rushing defensive group. the Seattle Seahawks are a solid defensive line group. Run, pass, depth, starters, hybrid pass rushers, all like, it's not even close. It's not even close. And so, yeah, the offensive line is going to struggle. And the offensive line was not great. It wasn't. It was not. But it was the best you're going to see all year. And you got through it. And you won on the road. Come on, man. Like, just saying. Oh, what's up, man? Shout out to my friend Brian Carter. Always good to see you, big dog.
You're the man, dude.
Thank you. Seattle is a top five defensive line. Now, Jake Brendel, here's what I do like. Jake Brendel had like three of his plays in the first half where his guy, he blocks him for a count, stops, and then watches him tackle CMC for like, you know, a 0 yard run and then walks back. And you even saw him like hitting himself in the face. His body language has always been among the worst in the NFL. Doesn't help teammates up, all those things, right? That happens at the half. But, breaking news. Somebody addressed at the half with the offensive line, hey, block to the damn whistle, better body language, help people up. Somebody told them for the first time in Chris Forster's entire career, block to the whistle, good body language, help your team up. Because in the second half, they go out there, Jake Brendel does the same thing. He blocks, he gets beat, he quits, his guy makes the tackle. And it's like a scrum. And then you see Jake Brendel go, oh shit. Somebody told me I got to keep blocking. And then he runs over and pushes the pile. I've never seen him do it in his life. Not that I've never seen him push a pile, but you saw him quit, what he always does, and then go, oh, ugh, and then went and helped. And then later in that series, he got beat again. Run game is where Jake Brendel gets beat. He's so good in the pass game. He's so good blocking in space. But against any quality defensive tackle, nose tackle, he cannot sustain a block for more than 2 seconds ever. But anyway, gets beat again. His guy tackles him. He goes and tries to help up the running. I think it was B-Rob. And B-Rob popped up on his own. But I was like, I've never seen Jake Moody. Or it's Jake Moody. see what I did there? I did not mean to do that. Freudian slip. Tell it to Jake's. But, like, I loved that. Like, I was ecstatic. Go watch the freaking film breakdown. Come on, sign up. 7-day free trial. Sign up, watch it. Learn, have fun. You're going to laugh, and you're going to learn. Trust me, you're going to learn. And if you don't like it, you cancel after 7 days. Cost you nothing. Ain't going to hurt my feelings. But if you do like it, support the show. It's how I feed my family. but I love that. Jake Brendel is so good at pass protection. You need that. Like, you need somebody that is a pass protector first on this offensive line. It sucks when the run game averages 3.3 yards per carry, and you have so many zero and negative yard plays because of Jake Brendel. That's the offset. He's not a complete center, but you're paying $4 million for him. You're paying nothing. You're getting what you pay for. But I love that the correction is happening mentally, and I can't wait to see week two. I can't wait to see. Can Jake Brendel just improvement in body language, team camaraderie, help your teammates out, finish plays? Oh, come on, man. Come on. Come on. McKivitz was good. It wasn't great. I thought he was good. He's better than Abe Lucas, right? They got paid the same. Abe Lucas actually got more. And I think Colton McKivitz is better than Abe Lucas. And yeah, he freaking, oh, he's good, man. Ben Barch was good. Always gets hurt. Can't wait on him. I really thought that McKivitz would get 20 a year. If you got Aaron Banks getting what he got and Jalen Moore getting what he got, McKivitz way better than both of them. Way better than both of them. And so, yeah, that's it. Talk tight ends. I have no problem with Tonjes and Luke Farrell as your tight end one and two. Now, it's not dynamic. It's not sexy. But Tonjes offers something. Tonjes, he's got just this kind of like mysterious vibe to the way he plays, where you don't see anything special, but special happens sometimes when he's around. All out effort, amazing locker room guy. Everybody loves him. And that does matter. And that translates to the field. Everybody loves him. Everybody loves him. Like that, like everybody is pulling for this guy in that locker room. They want him to be successful. And shoot, in the fourth quarter, they called a damn screen to him. and kind of got tripped up by his own guy, but whatever else. But then he comes back and scores the game-winning touchdown. Like, magic is real. This is going to be weird. Y'all stick with me here. I'm telling you, man, the NBA Jam, he's heating up, whatever. That dude is on cloud nine, and it matters. Confidence matters. It really freaking does. Like, it changes the way things happen. Is he George Kittle? Are you going to get George Kittle production? Hell no. People ask me, should I be adding, you know, Luke Farrell or whatever to my fantasy squad? The answer is no. You should not add either one of them. There are tight ends galore out there that you can pick up. But from a football perspective and the 49ers perspective, you are not at a loss in 22 or 12 personnel with two tight ends out there, and that's Jake Tonjes and Luke Farrell. Plus, you've got some Kyle Juszczyk that's going to be playing some tight end this week too. Like, I'm telling you, it's not Kittle. There is no Kittle. If you had to sub George Kittle out for Brock Bowers, you're taking a loss. There's a loss here, but I'm not going to sit there and be like, this is a major deficiency and, you know, oh, whatever. That's not it. Tonjes offers something, and it is toughness, and it is just like, whoa, did he just do that? Like, happens a lot. I'm just saying. Plus, Brian Robinson, I think I saw a comment. Yeah, right here, RTP. You know, it's about the O-line continuing to gel. Brian Robinson getting comfortable in the backfield, which, man, he missed some cutbacks. The timing, the tempo of the run hits were off with Brian Robinson. Still tough as hell. You had those runs where he carries, you know, at three defenders an additional 3 yards. He's fighting and bouncing off tackles like a pinball machine. Like, you need that buff, like, I'm going to freaking just be tough and mean all the time. That's there. Can he get to the point where there's not as many bumps and bruises in the rows and in the road? That's what I want to see. So Brian Robinson, like, yes, be patient. You got to be patient. It looked like Isaac Garrido out there a few times, though, running into his own guys. But you have he's a veteran, experience, knows what to do, runs. Brian Robinson's fine. No concern there. Chris, appreciate the super chat, my man. Brock's hurt toe caused short steps. Jimmy G, I don't think that he is Jimmy G, Chris. I hope that didn't come across. I'm saying, while I was going through film, I was like, man, Jimmy G used to do this crap, and that was always a problem. I don't know when Brock's toe got hurt. Maybe I missed that interview, whatever else. And so, like, I don't know which injuries to put or which throws to put pre-toe, post-toe, whatever. And if it is that turf toe, like, is that going to become a thing? So, right, this is something you got to watch for. The tape says Brock did step into a lot of throws, and it cost him. You got a weak arm. You got to have good feet. That's what separated. What made Brock Brock? You go back to that first game against the Dolphins. I was there. It's the best regular season game I've ever witnessed in my life. Jimmy G goes down. I throw a panic fit because that's who I am. I say, screw it. I'm going to get beers. I'm walking back with beers, watching it, walking up backwards on the steps. Make sure I sit down during the plays. Never block anybody behind you. Got to have good game day etiquette. Never go to your seat and cross and make people stand up during the play. Wait till the play's over. 2-minute warning into the drive. Come on, guys. Good game day etiquette. But I'm walking back to the steps backwards, squatting down whenever the play starts. I'm just like, ooh, ah. And what was the difference? Poise. All those blitzes, guess Brian Flores was the DC for Miami, and footwork. His footwork has been impeccable throughout all of Brock Purdy's thing. That's why the red flag for me was raised whenever this dude is stepping into his throws. Now, I hope that's because the toe injury, but I don't know when that happened. And yeah, you know, he did step into some throws late, stepped in that double move Pierce. That was Drew Brees. Like, I understand the Drew Brees comparison. We're playing the Saints this week. Why not? Let's talk about it. He's small. He doesn't have a big arm. He has to, like, peek over guys. He literally did a jump pass because he couldn't see. That one almost got picked off. But, like, I don't like the Brock Purdy, Drew Brees comparisons a lot because I always thought Drew Brees' best asset was the deep ball because he threw such a catchable deep ball and could lead the wide receiver so well. Brock Purdy couldn't do that rookie year. Second year, all right. It was there some. Third year, okay, now he's doing the deep ball, but he's off sometimes. Dude, I'm telling you, that was Drew Brees.
That was a, you could superimpose Drew Brees, and you could find that exact same route and that exact same pass and falling right into the bucket for Ricky Pearsall in stride, you know, right at that red line that you mark on the practice field. It was perfect. And so, yeah, there were still some positives. I don't know how bad that toe is. I don't know. We will see. But, yeah, I have all the confidence in the world in Brock Purdy. I really, really do. But whatever the tape shows, and that's kind of like who we are, right? Like, I hope that comes across. We are going to give what the tape says. Tape says he didn't step in, and it cost the Niners big time. Took off big time. Definitely the one interception, definitely the missed touchdown, and a couple other plays where it was just like, And he's an anticipation thrower, but some throws you got to get in there. That out route to Purdy or to Pearsall in the end zone, he was late and soft and didn't step in, and that's got it. That's what it is. Right here, Willie, are you coming to Jersey for games versus Giants? You bet your rear end we are. We're going to be at the Jersey side. Man, I think I can say what it is. I don't think I have the signed contract. Can't say exactly where we are just yet. But yeah, we're going to be over right by the water, the Hoboken side, having a good time. Can't put out there exactly. Got to get that signed contract. I learned my lesson in the past. It will be tailgating, you know, right next to the stadium, in the stadium parking lot. We're going to have a badass party in Jersey. But before we get to that, we got a lot of other parties. We're going to be in the Saints this weekend. And if you go to any 49ers road game, come party with us, baby.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All right, we're going to be in New Orleans. Man, you know anybody going to travel down to the Saints, send them our information, let them know. Saturday, we're going to be at the Bourbon Street Drinkery right there on Bourbon Street. We rented out both floors. We still have tickets available. We sold out. We got expansion room. We have more room. We are going to sell out. Again, just go to the TickPick app, search 49ers Rush or the link in the description of this video or podcast. And then Sunday, baby, we're going to be under the huge clarinet mural two blocks from the stadium. We've got a best tailgate party we're ever going to throw in my life. It's my birthday. Gosh, come say hi. It's going to be an absolute great time. And then, you know, if you can't make it to any of those and you're talking Jersey, Houston, whatever else, those tickets are up right now. So go get your tickets now. They're the cheapest they will be at any point. They will only go up as we run out of room because we have to pay more for more food and more drinks and more space. And so as the cost goes up, I have to raise that. We try our hardest to break even on these parties. I pay my bills with Patreon at the 49ers Rush. I go party because I love to party. And I love meeting you guys and just getting to know, build those friendships in that community. So come on out. Come with us. Trust me, you're going to have a good damn time. We don't miss. Now, let's talk defense. Because, man, as my friend Mike Chilton would say, defensive tape was fun. I usually go offense first, the defense second. I hate that I did that this week because the defense tape was where it was at, right? Where it's at. What's up, Beck? That's where it was. It was incredible. And you've got to talk about D-Winners. D-Winners, Fred Warner, you have two A-plus coverage guys that just did everything right. They just did everything right the whole damn time. Now, it wasn't a perfect game for either one of them. Fred was a little late on a drop or two. D-Winners could have set contain a little bit better, whatever else. Like, man, but overall, whew. I'm not to the point where I'm like, D-Winners is, you know, Dre Greenlaw. I ain't that guy. But, oh, my gosh, just off the freaking charts awesome. Just just off the freaking charts awesome. I love getting that. And Luke Gifford, too. Luke Gifford was right where he should have been all the time. Like, the linebacker room is on point. Tatum Bethune comes in for a couple plays, was decent. You know, filling in for Fred Warner. Nobody's Fred Warner. But I have more confidence. I said this before the season. The number one position group on this 49ers team, it's linebacker room. It's number one. It's the best. It is the best, deepest. You got the number one linebacker in the freaking league. You've got depth. Nick Martin was a healthy scratch. And I think Nick Martin will work his way into the fold. Like, right, you elevated Curtis Robinson because of special teams, whatever. Just let Nick Martin learn. He hasn't played football in a year and a half, you know, that mattered. Yeah, he went through training camp, preseason, all that stuff. And, yeah, he grew up big time. But it's funny because I said on this podcast multiple times, you can go watch the countdown episode where I told you Luke Gifford's going to be a starting number three linebacker. And people made fun of me. I got cussed at on Twitter from a couple people. Like, people quote tweeting and putting like whatever on there. Like, that's cool. Guess who started freaking linebacker three week one? I told y'all this during free agency. And people are like, nah, Nick Martin. I was like, no, I'm sorry. It's not the way Robert Saleh works. They want consistency, veteran presence, blah, blah, blah. And that's exactly what happened. I may not be a smart man, Jenny, but I know linebacker play, damn it. And yeah, I thought the linebackers were off the charts awesome. I really, really did. I also want to talk about Nick Bosa. Obviously, took the game over at the end. He was the difference between winning and losing. Unbelievable. And it wasn't even just the sack, strip, you know, sack, force fumble, fumble recovery, trifecta to walk off. It was the play before. It was the run game. It was the blowing up a screen in the third quarter for negative 8 yards. It's the, they're going to run a running play. You get a tackle for loss. Clock's ticking before the half. You lay on the ball carrier and take your time. Nick Bosa sounds like Eeyore. I get it. He's up there freaking doing his dip and whatever else. Looks dumb as hell. I get it. I was raised around these people. But that dude's football IQ is off the charts. Nick Bosa understands everything, sees everything, is thinking ahead. Wasn't like the most dominant game, but it was so consistent. And what was the Seahawks' plan? Quick passes, first read for Darnold, attack Upton Stout. That was their entire offensive game plan. Try to establish the run, couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. But you're not going to get sacks. You're not going to get pressures where it's all three-step drops with Sam Darnold. What's Sam Darnold's strength? Getting the ball out quick to the first read. That's what the whole game plan was. Don't let Sam Darnold cost us this game. And whenever you play not to lose, it's pretty damn hard to win. And that's what we saw. And so, man, you finally get that strip sack, you know, fumble recovery. But, man, they got that ball out quick all damn day. All damn day. And, you know, Robert Saleh, oh. What did I, again, you know, my thing was I wanted to blitz, exotic disguise. Don't let Sam Darnold get comfortable. I don't think that he did. What did he throw for? Like, 16 of 23, 150 yards. You had 150 yards passing? Are you freaking kidding me? How many games are you going to win in the NFL with 150 yards passing and 80 yards rushing? Not many. And Robert Saleh's, dude's doing some of the most exotic blitzes I've ever seen. You had freaking Mikael Williams wearing NASCAR package. This was something I didn't expect. This is somewhere I was wrong. I knew they'd go NASCAR, but they went four DNs. You know, if you go back to D'Amico Ryans with the Niners, Robert Saleh with the Niners, Robert Saleh with the Jets, it's three DNs and one defensive tackle. Nope. We went four straight DNs. You had Bosa and Bryce Huff on the outside. Etur Gross Matos, Mikael Williams on the inside. And Etur Gross Matos was awful. He had a horrible game. I understand he had three pressures. That dude got pancaked like five times from the inside. He was getting ragdolled. Really poor tape. Really, really poor tape from Etur Gross Matos. But he's trying to play up and hasn't practiced at all. Missed all of training camp. Missed all of preseason. He's not in football shape at all. I was very shocked that they played him as much as he did. Played 17 snaps. But dude got ragdolled. But back to this idea, you're throwing four DNs out there, which you haven't seen, and you're dropping Mikael Williams, who's playing defensive tackle, into the hook-to-curl zone on the opposite side on a zone fire blitz, and you caught Darnold. Darnold looked at it, was like, nope, had to go elsewhere, incomplete pass on a third down. Like, exotic, Exotic. Man, it looks like you're doing an overload blitz and you convert into a cover one under man. Whenever your cover one under man was Marquis Siegel, usually cover one under man is with Fred Warner in the middle spot, right? But what happens, Marquis Siegel looks like he's blitzing off the edge. He falls back and kind of does a little bit of spy tech. I mean, dude, it's looks I've never seen before. And going from watching Nick Sorensen to what we saw with Robert Saleh, it's just like advanced calculus, man. And it's still a simplified defense. You only ran three coverages. But the looks that you give, oh, just so freaking fun. I love you, Robert Saleh. Oh, loved it, man. Yeah, Sam O is such fun to watch. He is. Sam O was badass. He got 15 snaps, highest rated defender, and almost all of his impactful snaps were in the fourth quarter. The dude just plays all out. You know, he was the backside defensive end, chases down a outside stretch run to the opposite side for like a 3 to 4 yard gain. Very next play, he's the, you know, play side defensive end. They run a screen. He goes out and forces the fumble. All out effort, all the damn time, played every single possession in the fourth quarter, only 15 snaps, but they kept putting him out there whenever it mattered most. And my favorite thing about Sam O is he could do it all. 8 run snaps, 7 pass rush snaps. Like he could do everything you want and makes it count. Just effort, 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 consistency. 15 plays. He's coming off an injury too. Like, but that's what you want. You want guys that will contribute. This dude was a undrafted free agent transplant. Like, we didn't even claim as an undrafted. I think it was with Tennessee or anyway. Like, dude, you're getting meaningful, impactful snaps. Highest rated player for offense or defense, by the way, Sam O. And I don't give a damn if it's 15 snaps. You know, if you're giving Etur Gross Motto 17, Sam O 15, like that's 30 snaps. Like, hopefully you can get something from those. Dude, if Etur Gross Motto could play up to Sam O's standards, holy jeez. Watch out, baby. Oh, yeah. Thomas, advanced calculus, hell, it looked like advanced alien language. Just was awesome, man. I really enjoyed it. They did. It wasn't a true 5D line look because you walked up Luke Gifford. It was basically that 4-3 over, right? And so, like, you have a 4-3, four down linemen. You have three linebackers, but then you do the overlook where the Sam backer, Luke Gifford, walks up and plays that outside 9 tech. So you do have 5 guys on the defensive line. Yes, it's not 5D linemen. We've seen that in the past. And the reason why you're doing this is because the defensive tackle room is so far behind. C.J. West injured. Alfred Collins not ready. Like, so you can't play defensive tackle. So you've got to find defensive tackle snaps. How do you do that? You put Etur Gross Motto. So you put Mikael Williams at defensive tackle. You put, you know, Luke Gifford at the over 9 tech on a 5 front look, but it's not 5D linemen. So yes, yeah, but it's with the linebacker. You see 57 up there doing his damn, like, just exotic looks everywhere. I was so pumped, man. Tape was fun. Jordan Elliott, not one of my favorite guys. Awesome. Most consistent, best game as a Niner. You look at his score, he had a 62.1. I don't care. Played 25 snaps. It was just consistent everywhere. Not negative. Didn't get knocked in the backers once. Always where he needed to be. Clogged the middle. Great. He was great. Mikael Williams, as advertised. Pass rush, non-existent. So damn good against the run. You see the gap exchange and blowing that up in the fourth quarter. Whoo! Man, yeah, Mikael Williams, you got exactly what you wanted. Yeah, you want the pass rush, and maybe that will come. Even when you put him to the inside and you run stunts with him, still not there. But don't care. You stopped the run, which was your goal. That allowed everything else to work. And then the defensive back room, so physical. You don't have one defensive back out there that is not physical. Marquis Siegel, damn. Demo, golly. Renardo Green coming up and plugging. And Jason Pinnick, that dude's flying around too. Wish he'd wrap up a little bit better. But he didn't have any missed tackles, but he throws his shoulder. I don't like that. I want you to wrap up. But all those guys, Upton Stout, you think Upton Stout wants to play some ball? That dude hit his run gaps on those screen plays. It's a screen play, which is a pass play, but you still do your run gap integrity the same way, where you shoot outside contain, outside the slot corner, all that stuff. All there. All on point. Ah, masterclass. Master freaking class. Youngster stepped up. They grew up, and you got the win on the road. Can you do it 2 weeks in a row? Can you do it 2 weeks in a row? Tomorrow, we're going to have the coach approach. I got to wrap this show up a little bit early. I got to get on the road. And again, if you want to jump into that Rams, two Rams tickets, week five at SoFi, Levi South with the pink tailgate parking pass, over $1,000. This is valued at. That's what it's going for right now. That game, you know, I winning on the road. I'm going to be really honest. That Thursday game might be the most important game of the season left. You already won once on the road. Can you do it again at Levi South? Go to the 49ersrush.com/Rams. 49ers, the 49ersrush.com/Rams. Or just click the link in the description of this video. Again, you get one ticket for $20 or three for $50 for that giveaway. All proceeds go to Bruno, amazing, inspiring three-year-old fighting through leukemia right now, him and his family, to help with that. Go over there. Winner will be announced Thursday, September 25th, live on air at 10. And, man, I absolutely love you guys all. Need the support. We all do. And if you know anybody that's going through some stuff, man, take the time, reach out, offer some love, offer some encouragement. It is needed. But the 49ers are 1-0. I love y'all. This was fun. Sorry for the short early show, but we'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. And until that time, stay strong, faithful.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.